Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark in chapter number 4. And yeah, it's great to be back. I sure enjoyed myself last time I was here and met a lot of you folks. And please forgive me if I don't remember your name. That happens, you know, you say, "Do you remember me?" Yeah. But listen, at my age, sometimes it's hard to remember my own name. That's why I carry my driver's license in my pocket, because I can look at it and find out who I am. But it's exciting to be here. I'm a bit nervous today because when I was with you folks before, I think it was in September, right around September the 18th, I think, we had a great time, but the pastor wasn't here. So everything was, I didn't have to worry about what I said or did or how I looked. But he's here today. So that may be a concern. Well, God bless you. I may have mentioned this last time, but I'll go ahead and mention it again. I'm so glad for this church and for the, in your life, those of you who have lived for a number of years, and all of us, there's ups and downs all the way through. There's challenges and there's all kinds of things come out of the woodwork that you'd never think about. And that's the life of a church, too. But very interesting, many years ago, I met the founder of the Capital City Baptist Church and actually had him come preach at my church on our first anniversary. And that's close to 40 years ago now, a long time ago. So all I'm saying is the work continues on, okay? And thankful for you folks that are carrying it on now from generation to generation. We're not living in the 70s anymore, or the 80s, or the 90s. We're in a different era, aren't we, for sure? We've realized that in 2023, absolutely. But the work of God marches on. And yes, we live in challenging days. No question about that. Who ever thought that we'd face some of the things we've faced in the last 3 years, especially with COVID and all that goes on? Who ever would have thought it? Never in a million years. But you know what? God took care of us, and we're here today. We forget so quickly as individuals, don't we? Do you remember the days when you couldn't meet? Those days were real. I mean, I've been in church all my life. I grew up in a pastor's home. I had no choice. I was taken to church. I heard a friend of mine say, "I was on drugs. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any other thing." I even went to ladies' meetings but when I was a kid, there was no such thing as a babysitter. It hadn't been invented yet. So my mother took me, and my brother and I, set us in a corner with a basket of toys and some food. And we sat there for 2.5 hours while the ladies had their meeting. And been in church all my life. For somebody to say to me, "You can't go to church." Boy, I tell you. I wish I could say the hair stands up on the back of my neck, but I don't have any there. So we've been through those, and we've made it through. However, the truth is, there are folks during that time, during the last 3 years, there are folks that had fears totally unrelated to anything to do with COVID. It comes in life. I'd love to talk about heaven this morning. I'd love to talk about, and I will talk about Jesus this morning. I'd love to talk about the second coming. I'd love to talk about the Word of God. Don't you love your Bible? Isn't it a wonderful thing to have? Think about this. This morning, you have the very words of God in this book right here. Mine says KJV right at the top there. You have the very words of God. Think about this. The Bible says about Job that he was a perfect man and eschewed evil. And God, those are the words of God. God said about Job, you're the best, Job, in that generation. But listen to this. Job didn't have a Bible. Right? The first recorded book before the Pentateuch, the book of Job, so scholars claim. And how many times have you grabbed your Bible and run to your Bible to find some truth that will help you and strengthen you? I mean, how many times have you quoted the 23rd Psalm? Or how many times have you quoted John 14 or the first Psalm? Or I love Genesis. We talked about that last time we were here. And you go to your Bible and you read that, and it just, boy, it helps and enthuses and just does something for you. Job didn't have that. And yet the guy made it through. Listen to this. How many times have you come down to this church house, and maybe you're a little bit late, and maybe you're moving slow, and maybe you're struggling with something. It's been a tough week. Maybe a tough week mentally, maybe a tough week physically, maybe financially, maybe a tough month, maybe a tough period of time. And you've come in those doors, and you've heard people sing inside, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood." And it does something in here. But listen, Job didn't have any church. And yet he was a perfect man in God's sight, meaning mature in the faith. And he loved God with all his heart. I wonder, I'm sure there are many in here that have from time to time you've talked with your preacher. Something is troubling you or you need some counsel. You've talked with your pastor. And just praying with the pastor. Pastor prays for you and prays for your needs and so on. And you leave that wherever you're meeting, you leave that place and you're happy and you're enthused and you see some hope. Job didn't have a pastor. Think about that. Job didn't have the Bible as we have it here. Job didn't, many of the saints that we talk about, they at least had the Pentateuch. Job had nothing. No word of God, no pastor, no church. And of course, I realize New Testament days is different. When you get saved, when you accept Jesus Christ, the Bible dwells, never to leave, never. And he doesn't share his space with anyone. But Job, for special work and special people. But Job didn't have that, and yet Job made it on through. Job had it all. Job had everything. You read the first part of the book of Job. Job had it all. The richest man. He had everything anyone could ever want or desire. Job, remember these words. Job had it all. Everything. And then listen to this. Job lost it all. Including his health. And then the one individual that he might have looked to for hope, which was his wife, she said, "Job, why don't you curse God and die?" Well, that's a blessing. Huh? So, think about this. Job had everything. None of us will ever have what Job had. Okay? Are we okay with that? I don't think so. Job had everything. He lost everything, but you read the last portion of the book of Job, listen to this, you'll find that Job had more than everything. He got it all back. He got the children back. He got his wealth back. He got everything back. So he had everything. He lost everything. He got more than everything back. Folks, I'll tell you this morning, that's only what God is the only one that can do that. Give it all back. Isn't that good that God gives you all that you need and more? This morning I want to look at an account that I think will be helpful this morning. It's helpful to me, and that's why I give it. If I find something that's helpful to me, I'm going to tell you about it. Amen? From the Bible. So I want to read a few verses, then we'll get into a lesson this morning. And I just trust and hope it'll be helpful to you. So you're looking at Mark chapter number 4. And look at verse number 33, please. Verse number 33. "And with many such parables, he spake the word unto them." Notice, many such parables. So we got several stories here. "As they were able to hear it. But without a parable, spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." So, large crowds gathered. Large crowds gathered. He's telling them stories. He's telling them parables. Teaching them a truth that they need. A parable, of course, is like a picture of something that you can picture in your own life, basically. And so he's telling them stories about things that will be helpful to them in their own lives. And then the Bible says he's talking to his disciples. After that, he talks to the people that are with him there. He expounded all things unto disciples. Verse number 35. "And the same day, when even was come, he said unto them." Now let me stop right there and explain this. You know, at a church like this, an independent Baptist church in downtown Victoria, life is busy. If you ask your pastor, "Hey, pastor, have you got anything to do?" He says, I'll be able to talk to you sometime next year in 2024. I mean, it's just busy. It's, and we're all busy. All God's children are busy. You ever talk to someone and say, you know, I can't do it now. I can't do it then. I'm busy next week. And so we're busy, busy, busy. Sometimes that's just in our own mind we're busy. But the truth is we all have things to take care of. So think of, you're busy, 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 busy. Schedule never lets up, never lets up. You get tired. And that's where they were, especially the work of the Lord. There's no holidays in the work of the Lord. You can take a day off, but you can't take a day off from serving the Lord. And so they're busy. They're just plain old tired out. I don't know what you do to relax when you're busy. You probably won't take a trip over to the lower mainland because that isn't real soothing. But you'll stay somewhere on the island and find a place to relax. And maybe you're going to go somewhere and have a picnic lunch and just have a very quiet time, just you and you. My dad would say, you and the dog and Jesus. That's it. And a lunch. That's it. We're just going to chill out. We've got nothing going on in our lives and so on. We're just going to take time. You get there. You get your stuff set up. And a thunder and lightning storm comes along right out of the blue. And just, I mean, the winds come up. It's a disaster. And you say, Lord, this is the only time I have. What's going on? You're in charge of the weather here. Lord, and you run for your life. You go back home and hide in the basement because it's a serious storm. That's basically, you know, that's my picture of painting a picture of what they were dealing with. The busy, busy people all around. I don't know about you, but when I'm around a lot of people for a long period of time, then I like some quiet time to myself. And so he said to them, he said, and the same day when the even was come, thank God the evening came. Amen. He said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Sounds really good so far. We're going to go over on the other side. The people are here. We're going over there. And we're just going to take some time to ourselves, take some time to recoup. And yes, spend some time with Jesus alone. That's it. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And here we go. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so as it was now full. Guess what? The boat's full of water. I'm sure you folks know that maybe you have a boat. I don't know, but you spend some time out in the waters. When the boat fills with water, you're in trouble. And it does say filled here. And so he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on his pillow, on a pillow. I wonder if he had a my pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And this is the lesson here. Look, I like this. Think about this as I read it. Jesus asked them a question. These guys, can you see them? Their backs against the side of the boat, and they look like this is tragic, and they're scared unto death. And he looks at them, and he says, "Why are ye so fearful?" And then listen to this. He answers the question he asked them with another answer, with another question. Look at this. How is it that ye have no faith? So he said, "Why are ye so fearful?" And then he said, like I said, he answered their question. He asked them by another question, how is it that ye have no faith? Very interesting. What a story. You're very familiar with the story. I love the story. Jesus was there. Think about it. He's sleeping. If Jesus gets in the ship and goes to sleep, everything's all right. I don't really have much to worry about. However, they panicked and they were afraid. They were petrified. They were horrified. But the Bible says here, it uses the word fearful. So my question to you this morning is this, and I think it's appropriate, especially as the years go by. I would just simply ask the question the Scripture asks, why are ye so fearful? Because fear will come to your life. Fear comes in when you least expect it. Fear is real. Fear is a reality. However, as listen to this statement, as sure as the boat was full of water, you and I as believers need to be full of faith. Not fear, but faith. See, you can't be, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, says, Be not drunk with wine, or is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Did you know that you cannot be filled with the Spirit and be filled with fear at the same time? It's one or the other. You're full of faith. This is interesting. When you're full of faith, your faith will control you. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, that verse I just quoted in Ephesians 5:18 speaks of that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You know what it is to say, I'm sure to see someone who's drunk and someone who would do something they'd never do if they were not intoxicated or inebriated. They would never do that. But the same thing is true of the Holy Spirit of God. You will do things that you never otherwise would do. You'll live for Christ. You'll be a bold witness. You will stand firm on the faith. You will believe the Bible without a doubt when you're full of faith, when you're full of the Holy Spirit. But you cannot be full of the Holy Spirit or full of faith and full of fear at the same time. There's no room for that. It's one or the other. Well, let's define fear. And I know this is a bit deep this morning, but I think it's helpful to you, and I think it'll strengthen you and help us. And by the way, you say, listen, I don't have a fear in the world this morning. Everything's just topside, wonderful. And so there will come a time when the sun sets and the lights dim and the mind begins to work as sometimes it will, where you'll have fears. So I want you to remember this instance right here. So let's define fear. Fear is a, big words here, fear is a mental anticipation of failure. In other words, your mind is already telling you that you're going to fail in something. Amen? You say, oh, my soul. What about, some of you perhaps taking some education right now and you have to write a test? I mean, you don't just say, I'm going to ace this. I don't need to study for this. I'm just going to go in and I'm going to make 100%. No, we fear that we might forget everything we learned before we get there. We have fear. So fear is a mental anticipation of failure, a mental anticipation. Anticipation means foreseeing. It means an expectation. When I say mental anticipation, you're already expecting something is going to go wrong. I know that happens to me. Surely it happens to you. I think, what if? What if we're on the ferry yesterday and the wind comes up and I thought, oh my soul, what if we get run into a big storm? I mean, the sun was shining. Why am I thinking that? Because that's what the mind does sometimes. It's a mental anticipation of hurt. How about a mental anticipation of disaster? You're thinking about it. You're giving mental assent to something that could happen. Fear is very interesting. Fear can stop you. Fear can stop you dead in your tracks. If you're afraid of something, you're not going to go ahead with it. Fear can render you relatively, fear can possibly render you useless for a period of time. You're so afraid about something, whatever it is. Fear will stop you from doing what is right. Now, fear, understand fear, and I'll get to a couple of scripture verses in a minute, but fear is a tactic and a tool of Satan himself. I'll tell you why I know that. The Bible tells me so. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, fear. Now, God's given us these emotions. Fear is not sin in and of itself. It's also afraid. However, if you allow fear to put you in a position where you do not or will not do the will of God, the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you can allow fear to take you down that road to a point where, yes, it becomes sinful to carry on. Everybody has fears. My soul. Everybody. Wow, this is good. Can I share a fear with you that happened this morning? I'm sure a preacher would agree with me that often we struggle about what we're going to teach on or preach about. You know, you have this thought comes, say, that'd be good, that'd be great. Everybody will enjoy it and be impressed and wonderful. And I fought with this thought because I thought, why do I want to talk about fear on Sunday morning? But the Lord would not leave me alone on it. So we're leaving. We're staying in it's called an Airbnb. We're staying in an accommodation beside a building that's under construction on Bear Mountain. Is that right? I know some of you may know about there's a big high rise up there. It was started in, 2003, and it's sat dormant. Now they're starting to build it again. So the building's there, big security fence around it, and so on, a big tower and the whole thing. And we had a relatively good rest, and we stepped out this morning on our way out to the car. We get in the car. My wife is backing out the driveway. It's with cars sitting on a bit of a dead-end street. She's backing out, and she looks in the rearview mirror, and there are two police cars parked behind our car. And the police are getting out of their car. And I thought, my wife said, "What have you been doing? What are you up to?" I said, they blocked us in. And I thought, what's going on? Don't they know? I got to get to church. I mean, I can't. I have no time for casual conversation. And then they start walking. One walks in toward the building. The other walks up to the car. And the man says, he said, "Have you been down? Have you? I forget exact words, but he said, have you breached the fence or have you gone through the fence down there at the bottom?" I mean, I'm dressed in a suit and tie. I look like a guy that's out in the bushes going through. But I'll be honest with you, for a few minutes, at least it got my heart rate up. That was good. but for a few minutes, I thought, what on earth is going on? Because, you, like I said, you don't know what's happening today. For just a couple of seconds, I thought, oh, Lord. Lord, you know. You know, Lord. I got to get going here. But we had a nice conversation, and they let us out, and we went on our merry way, and they were walking around the building and looking. Always bothers me, Barry, when a member's walking around the building, he's got his hand on his gun. that was concerned me a little bit. But all I'm saying is, that's life. And for a few moments there, I had a bit of fear. 1 John, I like this. 1 John 4:18 says this. Listen to this. "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." That same verse, if you want to look closely at the reference, listen to this. It says, this is the Bible, I'm not making this up. It says, fear, being afraid, fearful, like they were. "Fear hath torment." I don't need any torment. Amen? You don't want any torment. Fear hath torment. So fear can torment you if you let it. Fear is an advanced emotional distress. I mentioned that. Fear brings torment, it brings torture, and sometimes it brings tantrums. Amen? When you're afraid of something. It's unnecessary torment as well. Fear, that anticipation of hardship. You see, you have a potential. Think about this. So I have an appointment on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. And this is the kind of appointment I'm really not looking forward to. The appointment's not at Dairy Queen, so I'm not really happy about it. The appointment's not in Hawaii, so I'm not looking forward to it. But it's an appointment I'm not looking forward to. And listen to this. I can let that thing eat my lunch from today right through until Tuesday at noon. And then Tuesday at noon, I have the appointment. And whoever I have the appointment with, they say, "Mr. Arbel, everything's going to be okay." Guess what I did? I burned up a whole bunch of mental energy worrying about it in fear for several hours. Now, it's easier said than done. I will grant you that. But why would I burn up all the mental energy and the emotional energy all the way through Monday? Just enjoy the ferry ride back to the Lower Mainland. Maybe, will they let you throw a line over the boat when you're, I haven't tried that yet. But not likely, because I might catch a fish that hauls me in the water. Amen. But why would I do that? That's what fear can do to you. And you know what I'm talking about. It happens to us. It comes our way. You see, if nothing happens on Tuesday, I've wasted. It's like leaving your car running in the yard all day Monday to go somewhere on Tuesday. You're burning up fuel. So you're mentally and emotionally and maybe even physically, I mean, if you're pacing the floor, you're using up some energy physically, worrying about something that you don't even know how it's going to turn out. But we all do. Now, fear becomes an obstacle and blinds us of what might possibly be an opportunity. Huh? Yeah. Fear reveals our focus on our insufficiencies and not His sufficiencies. Fear proves that we are looking at our weakness instead of His strength. Now realize, we all have to work at this. It's not something that happens magically. But when you fear and you use up that mental energy, it's a waste of time. Now, let me give you quickly here. Let me give you two or three things about the matter of fear that I think will help you this morning. Number one thought is this. God's promises will help you fight fear. Did you get that? God's promises will help you fight fear. He said, oh, I've heard that. Yeah, we all have. But we need to apply it. Amen? But you see, when fear, I'll tell you why. When fear, frightfulness, fear, worry, call it if you will. When fear seizes on you, there's one of three things that's happening. One could be you forgot the promises of God. When you're afraid, you forgot the promises of God. God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. God said to me, oh, what's the worst thing that can happen to you this morning? You know what the only fear you and I need to have as Christians? The only fear. I used to say to folks, what's the worst thing that can happen? And folks wouldn't answer. So I'd say, well, you could die. But the truth is that's not accurate, is it? The worst thing that could happen to me is for me to reject the salvation of Almighty God. Because nothing else can happen to me. The Bible says, Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I've got nothing to lose. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So I'm okay all the way through. Now, I want to live till I hear the trumpet sound. I really do. And I hope it's soon. Because I'm running out of time. But I do want to, but if the Lord chooses otherwise, hey, I'm in good hands. Remember that, some of you older folks remember that commercial years ago. It said, you're in good hands with Allstate. I don't know if you remember that or not. It was years and years ago. Very interesting story about that. I won't tell it this morning, but you're in good hands with, my friend used to say, you're in good hands with Allstate till you miss the first payment. Allstate Insurance. But you're in good hands. Hey, how about this verse? The saints of God are in His hands. So you're okay. But what about the promises of God? The reason we sometimes are worrisome or fearful is we don't trust the promises of God, or we don't know the promises of God, or we've forgotten the promises of God. Plain and simple. Now, look in your Bibles again at the portion of Scripture we read. Mark chapter number 4, and look please at verse number 35. Verse number 35. And it says, the latter part of the verse, for time's sake, I'll just read the last sentence. Let us pass over to the other side. Those are the words of God right there. Let us, if Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, they're going to go to the other side. You tell me one word Jesus said that failed. One word. There is none. Never, Jesus never fails. This word never fails. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus never failed. So when Jesus said, we're going to the other side, they had the very words of God it doesn't matter if the boat was full of water. Jesus said they're going to the other side. So they'd be carrying water to the other side, but they're going to make it to the other side. Somehow they're going to make it there. So this is the promise of God. These are the words of God. So what I'm saying this morning is this, you must cling. Am I supposed to be quiet when I'm teaching this morning? Okay. So, I'm trying to encourage myself, okay? I'm talking to myself. But understand that if you claim the promises of God, the fears should and could very well evaporate when you do that. Say, God, it's in your hands. God, I'm in your hands. Huh. Yes, there was a storm. Yes, there were high waves. Yes, the boat was filling with water. Yes, the water was wet. But His word said, we're going to make it to the other side. That to me is very reassuring. Jesus has never failed. You see, the truth is, it could have been another way here. It could have been that they could have all, can you see the disciples, all carrying their My Pillows down on the lower deck. And they could have all gone, whoever had to run the boat, that's their business. But there would, think about it, they could have actually had a nap with Jesus down in the lower deck and just slept all the way across, and the whoever was running the boat then could have said, okay guys, we're ready to dock, and they all could have got up. They'd been fresh and ready to go after a nice rest. But no, they've eaten their fingernails up to their knuckles, and they're fearful and they're afraid. And then they said to Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? They're including Him. The man who was involved in the creation of the waters and the winds, they're saying, maybe it'll fail. So all I'm saying, folks, is this. The promises of God will help you through the difficult times. Don't, please, please don't listen to Dr. Phil. Do you know who he is? I don't know if he's still around anymore. Somebody told me about him. Please don't read the horoscopes. That won't help. Don't look in the bottom of your teacup to try and get a message. That won't help. You've got the promises of God right here in this book. Someone as well said, I didn't check it out yet. I'll do that when I get to eternity. But someone said there's more than 3,000 promises that God makes to us as believers in the Word of God. I don't know, that sounds like a lot. Believe the promises of God. See, everything that Jesus has ever said has never failed once, not one time. Doesn't matter how severe the storm is. He said, we're going to the other side. By the way, the Bible also says in the book of Hebrews that God cannot lie. God the Son cannot lie. He can't tell. When He said, we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. Plain and simple. So, the other thing is, you're not going through the storm alone. He's with you. You ever seen a little chorus, maybe in Sunday school? With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm till He calls me home. I like that little chorus. Yeah, it's from the scripture right here. With Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm. Easier said than done, but we have the promises of God. So fear brings advanced emotional suffering, advanced emotional discouragement. Have you ever panicked about something that's never happened? Yeah, I think it was Job that said that. He said, the thing that I fear the most has come upon me. I mean, you can bring troubles to yourself if you want. Oh, my soul, oh, my soul, oh, my soul, oh, my soul. It happens. We're human and we allow that to happen. But remember the promises of God. Don't let fear interrupt the will of God. Don't let fear guide your life. I wrote these down because I want to give them to you. Don't let fear control your decisions. Trust God all the way. You see, this is almost like, in the book of Genesis, where Satan came to Eve and he said to her, did God say? Did God really say we're going to get to the other side? Did He really say that? Or is He just taking us out in the middle and letting the boat sink? No. Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. You have a perfect book with a perfect truth. And He keeps His promises. Then secondly, not only does the promises of God fight off fear, but the fact that God is in control will help us to fight off fears. God is in control. So the promises of God will help me. In a time when my fear is the greatest, I've been in hospital. I had a heart attack back in 2017. I'm sitting at the kitchen table having my coffee and reading my Bible. Got my tie on. My shoes shined, and all of a sudden something happened. My heart started thumping in an irregular manner. And I thought, Lord, I'm ready for church. And I knew something was going on. I'd never had that feeling like this before. So I ran down the hallway. Well, I walked. I shouldn't say ran. I walked quickly, briskly. My wife was in the bathroom drying her hair. You know, those hair dryer things. And I knocked on the door and said, honey, I need you for a minute. Could you please come out right away? And she said, I'll be out in a few minutes. What a blessing that was. I mean, I'm having a heart attack. And she, I'll be out in a few minutes. No, she came right out. She took one look at me, ran to the cupboard, got some baby aspirin and threw them at me and called 911. And in a few minutes, I was on my way to the hospital. I'm going to close with this story because you need the time here. But this was fascinating to me. Hospital about 20 minutes away from our home. I'm dressed in a suit and tie in the back of the ambulance with all the stuff on me on the way to the hospital. And got there and they put me in an area in the emergency and hook all these things up to me and so on. And all I want to see are those little lines jumping. I don't want to see them flatline. I want to see them jumping like that. I'm watching that thing. And the heart doctor comes in. They paged the heart doctor. It was on duty that day. And the heart doctor comes in. And I think she was in the military because she came in. She had one of those white lab coats on, a clipboard. She marched in. She said, "Mr. Arbo." And I thought, I'm supposed to sit up. Or maybe I don't. "Yes, ma'am." I mean, I just had a heart attack. Get this. She said to me, first thing she said, I'm looking at your chart here. "Mr. Arbo." She gave my age and so on. And she said, "What's a Baptist?" I thought, "Man, I'm dying. I don't care about Baptists. I'm about to go to heaven. And I'm ready to go. But just..." And besides, there's so many different kinds of Baptists around now, it's too big a discussion. Okay? But I thought... It dawned on me, I thought, for maybe the first time in many years, I was lost for words. I didn't know what to say. The heart doctor, "I'm having a heart attack." She says, "What's a Baptist? What's that got to do with, do Baptists have more heart attacks? I don't know." is this a survey? I don't know. So she's got a clipboard out, and preacher, I don't know, I didn't have enough courage to ask her what she wrote, but First thing I said to her was, it came to my mind. I said, "Have you ever heard tell of John the Baptist?" And why I said that, I don't know. But she said, "Oh yeah." So the Lord gave me presence of mind to just sit there and lay there. I was on a stretcher, sit nothing. I gave her the gospel. She's writing on a clipboard. Well, I said, "Do you know the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," and so on and so forth, down through the Romans road. She's writing. Now, I don't know. I didn't ask what she was writing on the clipboard. She could have been writing, "This guy's crazy. This guy's crazy." She could have been writing, "This guy's a religious nut." I don't know. But the truth is, I thought afterwards, quite a while afterwards, I thought, "Lord, this is a very unusual way to get me to witness to a doctor at the hospital. Giving me a heart attack." It's true. My wife was there. Did you come in the ambulance?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see you. She gets to ride in the front. I had to ride in the back. Yes. But you know what I'm saying? There was fear. But I have to say, the Lord allowed a calm to come over my heart that I thought, you know, whatever the Lord has in mind, it's not my idea of the ideal soul-winning experience, going in the back of an ambulance. That's not the way I would do it. But if it's the way he would do it, that's fine with me. And obviously, everything worked out well to this point. Back on the road, no time at all. But other things happened along the way as well. But the Lord gave me a presence of mind that I'm in his hands and everything is all right. So please remember this morning the promises of God. They do not fail. When God says he'll take care of you, he'll take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Take God at his word. Understand that God is all powerful. He's in control of the storms. And God allows nothing to come your way that he doesn't oversee. Preacher, you go ahead and come. Thank you for your time, your attentiveness, and God bless you. We'll see.